British Sky Broadcasting and the Carousel Picture Company, with the support of Film Fund Luxembourg, present Diggity's Treasure. An American turns up in a pretty English village to claim his inheritance, a crumbling old church complete with buried treasure. Starring Andrew McCarthy, Louise Lombard, and Bill Treacher. Directed by Tom Reeve. Music by Gast Waltzing. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency. It's the present day, and we're travelling through the rolling English countryside. It's winter time and the trees are bare. The village of Copingwell nestles in the hills of the Cotswolds, unchanged by time. A winding lane leads to a cluster of pretty stone cottages, and the village church with its bell tower, which is silhouetted against a cloudy sky. Grumpy old Malcolm Slee cycles through the village. His grandson Rupert runs behind.
Harry! Get off the road!
A little boy has dropped his teddy bear on the lane, but Mr. Slee cycles right over it. Rachel greets the postwoman in the street.
Morning, Emma.
Morning, Rachel. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. I was going to check on preparations at the church. Do you have time to...
I believe you have a letter for me.
Emma, the postwoman, hands over an envelope to a scowling Mr. Slee. He puts it inside his wax jacket as a breathless Rupert catches up.
Say good morning, boy.
And good morning to you too, Mr. Slee.
Emma and Rachel watch as Mr. Slee cycles away past a tractor, still followed by his grandson.
Yes, dear. As soon as I've done my round.
See you then.
In the bell tower of the church, a small boy, Diggity, in a baseball cap and anorak, watches from the slatted window. He looks up at the bell.
What's the point? You just don't get it, do you? She doesn't have a child. She's not even pregnant. Sorry, but when do I get my wish?
Stitches, are you playing or not? Put that rat away.
She's not a rat, Heidi's a guinea pig.
Two boys hang over a bridge, dropping sticks in the stream below. Stitches puts his caged guinea pig on the road and joins them.
One, two, three.
The boys run to the other side of the bridge to watch the sticks float downstream as Slee approaches on his bike.
Stitches
one. Slee!
The boys run and hide behind a wall, leaving the guinea pig on the road.
Heidi, Stitches, no, forget her.
Looking stern in his flat cap, Slee cycles past the cage as the boys watch anxiously.
Watch out, Rupert!
Slee's grandson is standing with his foot over the cage, poised to crush it.
I don't think you're fast enough, gypsy boy.
Please don't hurt her.
Rupert picks up a piece of mud, puts it in his mouth to form a ball, then places it in his catapult, hitting Stitches on the forehead and knocking him over. He brings his foot down on the cage.
No!
Heidi escapes and scuttles off into the undergrowth. Rupert runs away. Diggity is watching the scene from the bell tower. Slee cycles up to a gypsy camp. Washing hangs on a line. A horse grazes. Artemus Roma is in his vest, chopping logs in the winter sunshine. His wife leans out of the wagon.
Papa, it's old Slee!
Well, Mr. Slee, have the children been in your garden again?
No, Roma. You give your Bretts and my garden too much credit. It's proper business I have. This letter is from my brother and solicitor, Snedley. He's found the heir to this property.
Someone actually owns it?
It appears that this land, as well as the main building, was part of a 500-year lease from some ancient benefactor. The lease has expired, and this property has reverted to the heir.
May I inquire as to who the new owner is?
It's not me, Roma, if that's your concern. But when he receives my proper offer, a deed will be signed before you can say street urchin. It's going to be a long, cold winter, Roma. Wherever you and your little potato thief find to live. Say good morning, boy.
Artemus looks worried as Slee cycles off, followed by Rupert. Wearing an oversized Manchester United shirt, Artemis's son Stitches is in the gloomy, dusty, disused church, looking for Heidi, who runs between the pews across the leaf-strewn floor.
Heidi!
Stitches kicks, then opens a heavy door. He goes down steps into a dark vault. Crouching, he searches for his guinea pig. He sees Heidi and lunges for her, but misses. On the ground, something catches his eye. He picks it up, brushes it off, and he holds up an old gold coin. He runs out of the church and bumps into Rupert, who's standing in the graveyard.
Well, well, we meet again, runt.
I haven't done nothing.
No, but you're a gypsy. Hey, what's this?
You really should give him back his coin.
Why do you care? You live as a gypsy brat now.
I live out there.
Oh, so your friend is a church mouse. Come on, let me hear you squeak.
Diggity jumps down from the tomb he's been sitting on and takes off his cap and produces an apple from it, which he throws to Stitches.
That's an old trick.
He takes another apple from his cap and bites into it.
I think I've got better things to do.
What about his coin?
He can have it when he can take it.
Diggity throws an apple to Rupert, who hurls it against the church wall.
Can you teach me that trick?
It's not a trick.
You make Rupert disappear.
Yeah. Haven't thought of that one.
Oh, no. Let's go into the tower.
Stitches follows Diggity into the church, clumsily slipping over in the doorway.
Oh. Come on, Stitches, stop mucking around.
At the gypsy camp, Rachel is sitting at a table with Artemus and his wife and daughter.
I've lived here for 3 years now and I still don't understand that horrible man.
Well, this probably means old Slee will end up owning everything. If he has his way.
Why doesn't he have his way?
Well, if he does, there will be no place for the Christmas fete.
So are we going to have to move again?
Your father's always taken care of us.
Well, I bet the new owner's rich and greedy too. Just like Slee.
I don't care who your brother is, you're fired.
Can I have one more chance?
Raymond, you were hired to see to the gardens, and you get this room for $50 a month. Now, the gardens are a shambles, and you're 3 months behind on your rent again.
I'm on the verge of some big money.
Raymond, you're always on the verge. Now, I'm tired of paying your rent myself. I'm keeping your severance check for the utilities.
In Georgia, in the United States, a pleasant-looking young man, Raymond Kane, has lost his job and his home. Carrying a small bag, he gloomily walks the streets. Then, drinking a coffee in the window seat of a diner, he sees a smart saloon car pull up in the car park. Looking worried, he goes outside. He's driven to the plush offices of his half-brother.
Hi, Otis.
Oh. Hey, Ray, come on in.
How you doing?
There's someone here to see you, Ray. Let me introduce Mr. David Jackson of Thompson, Jackson & Lee.
Oh, I was only 3 months late, Otis. I'm going to pay that.
Just shut up, Ray, and listen.
It would appear, Mr. Kane, that you are related ever so distantly to a sea captain. The late Captain Emmanuel A. Farrell of Copenwell.
Right.
It's in England.
That's right, England, 4,000 miles away, across the deep blue sea.
What does this have to do with me?
Specifically, Mr. Kane, you are the only living relative of Captain Farrell.
He's on your mother's side, of course.
Precisely. And as such, you have a piece of property to claim in the village of Copenwell.
What do you mean, property?
Well, the papers weren't specific, but when you arrive, you are to contact Malcolm Slee. He was the gentleman that had you located.
Arrive.
Here's your ticket and passport to a new and exciting life, Ray. Godspeed, God bless, and cheerios.
Otis, this is a one-way ticket.
Ray, I don't think I can finagle you another job. Face it, I've run out of people in town who owe me favors.
But think of what might lie ahead of you. Perhaps a home of your very own.
Yeah, Ray. Here you go. Couldn't let my half-brother leave without a going-away gift, now could I? Take it everybody over there with him.
Wow. Huh? Thanks, Otis. How's it look?
You look fine, Ray.
Huh?
Raymond has put on the trilby hat with a big feather that Otis has given him and leaves the office. Outside, he puts his small bag into the boot of the car that's waiting to take him to the airport. He climbs in and after a while starts talking to the driver.
Winthrop, now, I know you have your orders, but please, swing by the house just for a minute. I need to see Beth one more time. I appreciate that, Winthrop.
The chauffeur-driven car turns off the motorway and takes Raymond up a sweeping, tree-lined drive and parks outside an enormous colonial-style white house. Raymond gets out and runs up the steps to the front door. He lets himself in and goes into the bedroom of a pretty young girl who's wearing a shiny satin party dress. She runs over and hugs him.
Uncle Raymond.
Hello, darling.
Mama said you were going away to England.
Well, I'm afraid so, but I will be back before you can say Firefly.
I have something for you.
She gives him an angel brooch with one wing.
I want you to have this, Uncle Raymond.
Oh, thank you, darling.
Don't worry about her wing. Mama broke it trying to unlock my diary last month. But she'll still be able to watch over you.
Oh, you do love your old Uncle Raymond, don't you?
Beth, what are you doing in your Sunday dress?
I got dressed for the garden party, Mama.
No, ma'am. Children and ladies do not mix. So you say goodbye to Uncle Ray and turn right around and put some play clothes on.
Hey, your stepmama's right. I'll see you soon, darling.
Bye, Uncle Raymond.
Bye-bye, Emily.
I've got a feeling that Uncle Raymond ain't coming back from England.
God save the Queen.
On the flight over to the UK, Raymond dozes on the shoulder of the woman sitting next to him. He has a long scar on his cheek. He dreams of sitting in a chauffeur-driven Rolls, wearing a deerstalker hat. The Rolls pulls up outside a huge mansion. A butler comes out and opens the car door. Raymond looks around approvingly. He dreams on. A bus pulls into the village of Copingwell. It stops, and Raymond, wearing his trilby and carrying a small bag and clutching a piece of paper, gets off. He stands on the pavement looking around. He consults the piece of paper and starts walking down the empty street. Looking bewildered, he stops and looks at the piece of paper again. He looks at the church and then over to Bridge Cottage and a bicycle parked outside. In the cottage, Mr. Slee is sitting at his desk looking at a document.
Ah! I knew it was here somewhere.
He gets up and walks over to a large map propped against the wall. With a pencil, he points to a cottage marked with a cross.
Hog's breath, I already own that one. All the clues still point to the church. But your day's coming. I'm close, boy. I can feel it in my bones.
The treasure?
What else would I be talking about but King Charles' war chest? It's been daring me to find it for 22 years.
So why haven't you, Grandfather?
Because I'm not positive where it is buried. Yet.
But what if someone else finds it first?
It's been lying there for 350 years. It'll be safe until I get one solid piece of evidence. It's already begun. Another pauper seeking a handout. And now they're coming all the way from Germany.
Slee looks out of the window and sees Raymond in his trilby walking by.
Good day, Mrs. Stout. And to you, Rachel.
Afternoon, Mr. Crabtree. You as well, Ted. I don't know why you don't pay more attention to that nice Mr. Crabtree. He's obviously very fond of you.
Yes, I know you. He's very sweet. But give me my animals. You can trust them.
By the time people get grown up, they lose their angel eyes.
Don't got angel eyes.
Sure you do, Stitches. They're in your heart, not your head, stupid.
So you really are an angel?
I'm a cherub. It's not quite an angel. But remember, you can't tell anyone. You promised.
Okay, I promise.
Good.
But when do you get to be an angel?
Who knows? I just keep doing what Felicia tells me. And one day, when I've helped enough people, I'll finally get to be a real angel.
Diggity puts down the rope that he and Stitches have been winding and looks down out of the bell tower and sees Rachel and Ellen by the church gate.
Come on, it's Rachel!
How come you're so interested in her?
She's why I'm here. I watch over people's children. I'm supposed to watch over hers, but she doesn't even have any. Hurry up.
You go on, I'll look for Heidi.
Rachel and Ellen see Raymond walking towards them down the street looking lost.
Here now, what's this?
Excuse me, ladies. I'm hunting for a fellow named Malcolm Slee.
Pardon?
I'm looking for a fellow by the name of
Malcolm Slee.
Oh, he lives at Bridge Cottage just over the way there.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Robin Hood.
Where?
I own the pub, the Victoria. I'm Ellen Stout. And this is Rachel Blackman, Miss Rachel Blackman.
Hello. And this fine young gentleman here is Diggity.
Raymond. Raymond Kane. I'm from Georgia. Thanks for the directions.
An American in Copingwell. How odd.
Curious to say the least. Well, I need someone to help me make custard.
I'm your man then.
Good. Let's go.
Well, have fun, you two.
Diggity and Rachel go into her cottage, which has a scarecrow in the front garden, while Raymond goes to the front door of Slee's home, Bridge Cottage.
Doesn't anyone respect tea time anymore? Well, is there a reason you're standing on my doorstep this time of day?
I'm a hunting for a fella named Slee.
What?
I'm looking for a fella named Mr. Slee.
And who are you?
Name's Kane. Raymond Kane. I'm from Georgia.
America? You're Mr. Kane?
Since birth.
Oh, please, come in. I was expecting a letter, though.
Rachel is in her kitchen with Diggity.
He really likes you, you know.
Mr. Crabtree likes any woman with hips.
No, not him. The man we met. Written all over his face.
I can't say I noticed.
I've inherited a church?
Yes. And you can see for yourself the amount of work this wonderful old church requires.
I've really inherited a church.
That was Sir Robert Cope, the only man from this village ever to be knighted. They actually renamed the village after him in 1508.
What in God's name am I going to do with a church?
We'll help you sort that out.
They walk past Heidi the guinea pig, unseen in the shadows. In Rachel's kitchen, Diggity tastes the custard.
Do you have any children?
No.
You're sure? I mean, they're not off at boarding school or anything.
No, I'm quite sure.
You think you're having any? You'd make a great mum.
I think you've had enough sugar for today, thank you.
I've got to test it.
Raymond and Slee return to Bridge Cottage.
I can't believe it has happened to me again. My half-brother Otis is just going to love this. I come all this way and my inheritance is a church.
Well, actually, it hasn't been used as a proper church for quite some time. Please do sit down.
No, we're all too afraid it's going to collapse on somebody one day, and no one wants that liability on their shoulders.
Even better, I've inherited a public hazard.
Yes, I believe we're all agreed on that point. But all may not be lost, Mr. Kane. It seems only right to make you a reasonable offer for the property and take that burden of liability from your shoulders.
What's this?
I can have the papers ready to sign by noon tomorrow, and I'll convert the price into dollars if you like.
Well, you got yourself a deal.
Indeed, indeed, yes. Now, I know you must be exhausted. I'm sure you'll enjoy our local B&B. It's small, but I hear quite comfortable.
Well, all righty, until tomorrow, then.
Until noon, yes. Don't forget your keys.
All righty, bye-bye.
Goodbye, goodbye.
Raymond walks up to Rachel's front door.
This must be the place.
Can I... Oh, it's Robin Hood again.
Where?
Do you need a room?
Please.
Come on in then.
The Romers are sitting around their campfire.
Bedtime, young hearts. Come on.
So are we going to have to move again?
Well, I'm not leaving until I find Heidi.
You just get some sleep now. Your father will take care of all that.
Ian, the village policeman, gets out of his car and goes into the local pub.
Hello, Ian. Pint of the usual, is it?
Still on duty, Oscar.
Ah, Charlie.
Ian sees Rachel and Raymond sitting at a table.
Well, I think it's time to say goodnight.
Oh, come on, one more.
I think you could use a hand to get home, don't you?
If I wanted to help a drunk find his bed at night, I'd still be married. Night all.
Good night, Rachel.
All right, I'm buying.
Raymond pulls the angel brooch out of his pocket and looks at it.
Well, I guess she's right. All right, I'm gonna go. Don't get up, Charlie.
Raymond staggers in the darkness through the churchyard, pinning on the angel.
Come here now, little angel. Let's put you right here. Sit you right here on my shoulder. That's it. Don't you move now. Stay right there. Oh, mercy. Oh, if Mama could see me now.
Raymond looks at a headstone.
Hello there, Mr. Fletcher. I bet you liked my Mama, Mr. Fletcher. I miss her every day.
What you doing out here?
Haven't you heard? I own this place. At least until tomorrow. Didn't I meet you?
I was with Miss Rachel. I'm Diggity.
Kane. Raymond Kane from Georgia. I beg your pardon, son.
Feel better? I invented that, you know.
You invented the sneeze, huh?
I only did it so that people could say God bless you. Kind of cool, huh?
It's a sneeze, son. Everybody does it.
I don't.
Mr. Kane, wait up. I'm Ian Law. I was in the pub with you just now.
Uh-huh.
You're not lost, are you?
No, sir. Just out here getting a little air, clear my head. I got talking to this little... He was just here. Strange little fella.
Ah, it sounds like Diggity. He's an orphan of sorts.
Stray, huh?
Yeah. People around here kind of look after him whenever they show up. Children like that come along more and more these days. Pretty sad. Well, talking of orphans, I'll give you a lift back to Rachel's. Don't want you to become a stray as well now, do we?
Diggity is talking to himself.
What was he thinking with that hat? I know, he's a bit of a wreck. That's it. If I can fix him. We've got a lot of catching up to do with you, Mr. Kane. If I fix you, they'll have to make me an angel.
Slee cycles past Heidi on the grass verge. Rachel is in Ray's room.
I only ever call my guests twice, Mr. Kane. And then it's the shop cleaned.
Hey! It's morning light!
Don't you know that can blind a fella?
Well, then you'll just have to do your work in the dark, then.
Work?
Well, if it's true you can't pay for your room in full, Mr. Kane, you're going to have to work for it. Yeah, you can start by helping Artemis Rome mend his wagon, and then you can chop some firewood for me.
I can't. I got to see Mr. Slee at noon.
Perfect. You've got 4.5 hours. It's, 7:30 now, Mr. Kane.
7:30?
I'll be back at 7:35 to make the bed. Oh, and, it's just a suggestion, but I really would get rid of those ridiculous clothes. I took the liberty of finding some that should suit you just fine.
Rachel has put his clothes on her scarecrow. Slee is throwing stones at Ian's front door.
Mr. Slee, what can I do for you?
I'm in need of your services, Constable. Be at my home at noon today.
Thank you. Well, hold on a minute, what services?
Ray is helping repair the Roma's wagon.
How are you doing there, Hardy?
Okay, just a bit more. Okay. Yeah.
Papa, I'm going to Andy's to find Heidi.
All right.
Just stay away from Bridge Cottage.
That's it, Raymond. Oh, okay.
Who's Heidi?
Pet guinea pig. She got away recently. All right. Appreciate your help with the wheel. It's a tough job for one man.
Yeah, you're talking to a fellow trying to sell dentures by mail order. Now that's a tough job.
Just put it in the box for the other Christmas donations there.
Yeah. I'll see y'all later. I gotta get on over to see Mr. Slee.
Do you think he knows what this church means to the village?
At Bridge Cottage, Ian is reading the contract.
What are you up to, Mr. Slee?
It's a fair offer and you know it. 12:15. Now remember, you're just here to witness the signatures. You don't have an opinion.
Emma! Here, let me give you a hand.
Thank you, dear. You take these, I'll get the rest out of the car.
Great.
The postwoman delivers boxes of clothes she's collected to Rachel for the Christmas fete.
Rubble laundry or something? Even better. They're from my sister in Wigington.
Rachel holds up a black lace corset from one of the boxes.
She's a tart.
Well, at least she's a generous one.
Well, generosity won't help much if there's no church to hold the fete in.
Rachel folds a christening robe.
Oh, now, isn't that precious? I know it's none of my business, dearie, but you might want to set that one aside. You do know every eligible man in the village.
Yeah, that's really not possible at all.
No. I'm sorry I mentioned it. I always talk too much.
Emma, please don't feel bad. It's just I was pregnant once. My husband came home from the pub one night. One or two pints over the top.
We had a fight on the landing. I lost the baby. I didn't know. I'm sorry, sweetie. Life goes on.
Well, rumour has it that your American has agreed to sell the church property to Mr. Slee.
Is that why he's up his sleeve?
Hmm.
Well, if that's what he's up to, he can find somewhere else to stay. And he's not my American.
Ray spills his tea.
You're making a good bargain, Mr. Kane. Now, if we can just have your signature. Make yourself useful, boy. Retrieve my favourite bottle and three glasses. This calls for a wee dram.
I'll get four. One for me.
I've told you 100 times, children and gentlemen don't mix.
No, ma'am. Children and ladies do not mix.
Now march off and do as I say. The brashness of youth.
Oh, God bless you, man.
I beg your pardon, thank you.
Your signature, Mr. Kane?
I don't think I'm quite ready to sign this.
What's the problem?
I don't know. I just think I need to think on it a spell.
You have to sign it. We have an agreement, Mr. Kane.
Well, from what I understand, the property is still mine and I don't have to do anything. Now, I'll have to get back to you, Mr. Slee. Thank you for the tea.
Constable, explain to Mr. Kane that there's not a soul interested in purchasing that pile of rubble.
No, I haven't got an opinion, Mr. Slee. Remember?
Mr. Kane, let me encourage you to reconsider. Was it something the boy said?
Ray and Ian leave, and Slee grabs his grandson by the chain round his neck.
I don't do anything, Grandfather.
See what you've done? You just better hope you didn't curse me to... What's this?
It's just something I took off that gypsy kid.
And how did he get hold of something like this?
He found it somewhere around the church, I think.
Ox breath. Do you know what this means?
I'm turning blue.
No! King Charles' war chest is hidden somewhere in that church. And I had it in my hands. He crossed Markham Slee. Get me Snedley Slee, and quickly. Make that gypsy brat talk!
Things happen there like the fate. Fate is something you Yanks might call a fair, but on a much smaller scale. We have one twice a year, but instead of selling things, the villagers donate what they can to the needy and homeless in the surrounding area.
Well, from what I can see, these folks are the needy. Don't they care about making money?
Well, at least they have a roof over their heads.
Ray and Ian stop outside Rachel's B&B and see his suitcase on the wall.
Now, what is it with that suitcase?
Think I'll let you handle this one.
And I don't need to give you an explanation.
Now, hold on.
No, because this is my house, and I decide who sleeps here and who doesn't, and you doesn't. Don't.
The least you can do is tell me what I did, woman.
Yeah, well, the first thing you did wrong was being born a man, and from the looks of things, you went downhill from there, and don't ever call me woman.
What is the use of talking to you?
Precisely, Mr. Kane. You sold the church property out from under us, so there is absolutely no point in you being here any longer. So why don't you just take your 30 pieces of silver and get back to America?
I didn't sell the church. Is that what this is all about?
I thought that was why you met with Mr. Slee today, to sell the church and the land that the Romans are living on.
I changed my mind.
What happened?
I don't know. I just saw something in him. He brought back bad memories, that's all.
Well, he does that to everyone he meets. I am... very sorry for how I reacted throwing out your belongings. If I'd have known that you weren't selling, I wouldn't have...
I'm still selling, just not to him. I've met men like him before. I'm not going to be anybody's fool.
Just get out.
Bad move, Raymond.
You're a nut, you know that? A dyed-in-the-wool nut.
Have you always had a way with women?
Is Shane, I handled that wrong?
Get rid of that stupid hat!
You think so?
She's starting to get on my nerves. Her and everyone else in this village full of idiots. And I like my hat!
Methinks he doth protest too much.
Come on!
Ray puts his arm around Diggity, who's been outside Rachel's, listening to the row, and they go off. In the churchyard, Stitches and a friend search for Heidi.
Maybe she went back to your place. She's a guinea pig, not a homing pigeon. I'm too close to old Sneez. I'm going.
Because you're afraid of Rupert. He made you eat chicken poo.
Well, that was only once. I'm going.
I just remembered. I've got some things to do.
As Stitches runs off, Rupert, looking threatening, picks up Heidi, who's been in the churchyard all along. In the church, a prospective buyer sees a door fall off its hinges and walks off in disgust, while the villagers chat in the pub.
And every time the estate agent shows it to someone, something goes wrong.
So we'll have the church for the fete, then?
Well, I don't think Raymond will find a buyer before then. He's already had two people turn him down.
No luck yet, then, eh?
Nope. But the estate agent's showing it to some more people tomorrow. I don't know what the problem is.
I don't want to see the church sold, but I do feel sorry for poor old Robin Hood. He's such a handy chap.
He's going to be sleeping up the Romers. My wife gave him a couple of blankets this afternoon.
Have you all gone mad? Before you know it, the church will be sold, the Romers will be run out of Copingwell. And your precious Mr. Kane, he'll be back in America. What will you all be talking about then, hmm?
Oh, you'll feel better, dear, once we start decorating the church.
What's the point?
Rachel shakes her head and stomps out of the pub.
Oh, I wish there was something we could do to help Raymond and spare the church.
Maybe there is something we can do.
Fine, it looks fit enough. What about the roof?
Oh, it's in excellent shape. I checked it out myself.
Oh. And I suppose you checked the plumbing and electricity as well?
Yes, I think you'll...
The estate agent looks nonplussed as two more prospective buyers are shown around the church and put off by falling roof tiles and exploding light fittings. He throws the light in his car boot. Ray is handed a drink as he sits with the Romers at their campfire.
Thank you, darling.
Can't wait till tomorrow. It's going to be so much fun. Miss Rachel said I could help you make some butter in the morning. After I finish, I'll help you look for Heidi.
Ray has made a cage.
Here is her new home.
Thanks.
What is that?
Oh, that is a going away present from a very dear friend of mine.
Oh, it's an angel pin.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe in angels?
Well, I've never been personally introduced to one, but I suppose.
So you don't have angel eyes?
Mr. Kane has lovely eyes. Now, why don't we finish it for today?
That will make some little boy happy, huh?
That is very nice, Artie.
I'll finish this tomorrow.
Why don't we all call it a day? Come on, kids, that's a good night.
Night.
Good night, my dear.
Artemis puts down the horse he's carved and kisses his children.
Good night, Mr. Kane.
Good night, Mandy.
Good night.
Night, Stitches.
Stitches, on his way to bed in the wagon, runs back to Ray and gives him a big hug.
You got a real nice family there, Artie.
Thank you. I guess you're pretty anxious to get back to your own family. Especially with Christmas just a few days away.
Well, I don't really have any family to speak of, so...
Well, Mr. Kane, I just want you to know, if you do leave, you'll be missed around here.
Thanks, Artie.
Well, I better hit the hay myself. Tomorrow promises to be a busy day. Marty, you mind if I ask you something? What do you know about Rachel?
Besides the fact that she's the reason you have to sleep under a wagon?
Yeah. I guess that sums her up. Good night, Arnie.
Have a good night.
Sweet dreams.
In the morning, Ray walks up to Rachel's house. He looks up at her bedroom window and sees her undressed. Diggity throws a nut at him.
I know your mum taught you better than that.
You little twit.
Rachel suddenly sees Ray looking up at her and hurriedly covers up. Diggity runs off and Ray gives chase, holding a paper bag. The little boy runs through a gate, shutting it behind him. Ray falls over the top of the gate and lands on his back. Holding onto his trilby and the bag, he chases Diggity through a garden and gets caught up in a washing line and falls over again. Diggity runs along a footbridge over a stream and kicks over a fisherman's bucket. Ray follows and knocks the angler into the water.
Oi! My bucket!
Sorry!
Diggity runs through another gate into the churchyard and Ray catches him and playfully wrestles him to the ground. They lie on their backs next to each other, smiling.
That was fun. You know, you're not as old as you look.
Easy for you to say.
I could get to like you, you know.
Same for somebody else, Diggity. That stuff don't stick to me too good.
You should know by now. You can't choose who likes you. You just get stuck with them. Like a gift you didn't ask for.
Yeah, well, I better get this bread over to the church and Mrs. Rome will give me something else I didn't ask for.
They scramble to their feet, pretend to push each other, then Ray puts his arm around Diggity. In the church, preparations are underway for the fete. Ray hands over a flattened loaf.
Here you go!
Wait a minute, how kind. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robin Hood brought this one.
Stitches, would you and Diggity run back to the wagon? I forgot the other box of bows.
We've all talked it over, and we're all in agreement. The village wants to buy the land from you.
We know it won't be the 50,000 Slee offered, but we pay you what we can to start with.
But what about the cottage you and Gwen had been saving for, Artie? You can't just throw that away.
We've discussed it as a family. It's exactly what we want to do.
If you can just see your way to giving us another week to come up with the down payment. We need at least that much time.
Rachel walks over and throws Ray's trilby onto the table.
Oh, Mandy, I've forgotten my sewing basket. Would you mind going back to the cottage?
Yes, Miss Rachel.
Thank you. It's on the table.
We are set here.
Well, Mum and Dad, it's Christmas again. Grandfather still doesn't celebrate holidays. I always try to do something extra nice for him. He acts as if he doesn't appreciate it. But I know deep down he really does. You know how he is. I guess this year's been all right for him. He still misses you, Mum. A whole lot. Well, I'll stop by to check on you and let you know how everyone's doing.
Rupert pulls on his woolly hat, wipes away a tear, and leaves his parents' grave. Stitches and Diggity are carrying boxes to the Christmas fete when Rupert grabs Stitches by the scruff of the neck.
It's not safe for the chicken to be so far away from the hen. Look, Snipe, it's your church mouse. Got any more apples in your hat, kid?
You know, you really have an attitude problem.
Hey, I want to know where he found that gold coin.
You shouldn't do that, you know.
Wait, he's got Heidi! And I'm just crazy enough to bite his stupid little head clean off. So talk!
That's enough!
Told you before to stay out of my way. Where'd you find it?
In the church cellar behind the wall. Can I have Heidi back now?
No, I think I'll eat her anyway.
Can you do something? Die.
Eat this! I told you before, leave my little brother alone.
Stitch's sister floors Rupert, who drops Heidi.
I was talking to you, you know.
Men.
So helpless.
Rupert gets up and runs away. Slee is in his cottage, stamping on the floorboards.
The devil with you!
Slee sits down at his desk and pulls out from the drawer a framed picture of his daughter, Rupert's mother.
My sweet Elena. It's unnatural for a father to outlive his daughter. It's unnatural. Curse it. God didn't prepare me for this life.
Slee puts the picture away and wipes away a tear as Rupert rushes in with a bloodied nose.
What in thunder?
There was this really big...
Stop whining, boy. What about the coin?
It's under the church at the end of the tunnel.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir, I'm sure.
Very well. The hunt is on.
Slee grabs a letter and cycles over to the church. Ray is shaking hands with the villagers as Diggity watches from the bell tower.
Hey, you got yourself a deal.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Thanks very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
He can't leave yet.
Oh, stamps.
It might be possible that I was a little hasty to judge you.
We have a deal, Felicia.
Well, it might be possible that I was just...
Well, 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 well. And you thought I didn't know what this gaggle of ne'er-do-wells was up to. No deals are made in this village without me. Haven't you learned that yet? And your little party just ended.
What's this?
It's from the tax office.
It would seem this building no longer qualifies for church exemption. The land had lost its tax-exempt status when the lease ran out 2 years ago.
What's all that mean, then, Ian?
It means that Raymond, as the owner, owes Her Majesty's government quite a large amount of money.
How much?
Well, a lot more than we can come up with.
When's it due?
It's hereby stated that it needs to be paid within 10 days of the date. That's the day after tomorrow. How long have you been sitting on this, Slee?
Oh, you really think you're the bulldog of the boneyard, don't you?
I'm that and so much more, Mr. Kane. Just ask these good people. You see, you can either pay the Queen's tax by the day after tomorrow, or lose everything. Now, let's see your Yankee ingenuity figure this one out.
Tut,
Mr. Kane! You really don't want to get on my bad side. Up until now, this has just been fun and games. After you're long gone from here, I should hold every one of these people personally responsible for your actions.
Where are you going with this, Slee?
You either lose your property to the government and go home to Dogpatch, as broke as you arrived, or you sell it to me. For 10% less than my original offer to cover the frustration you've caused me and go home with some money in your pocket. And I'll forget the part your friends here played in trying to bite out from under me. You have until cock crows tomorrow morning.
What are we gonna do, Raymond?
I don't know that there's much we can do.
Still watched by Diggity, Ray and the villagers look at each other aghast.
Mr. Slee, hold on.
Ray and Ian confront Slee in his cottage.
Preposterous!
Well, it doesn't sound unreasonable to me. And this will seal the deal before the vicar returns the day after tomorrow. And face it, he can match you toe to toe.
How badly do you really want it?
And you guarantee those gypsies will be off my property within 24 hours?
Ian nods.
Very well.
And, let's not forget about the tax.
In the church, Diggity stands at the altar, looking up.
It's not fair. How am I supposed to help someone who has no faith at all? Give me something to work with here. And what about Rachel? How am I supposed to help her child when she doesn't even have one? It's just that I'm really tired, and sometimes I get scared that I'm never going to get my wish at all.
Seems to me a fella who can chuck a nut like that shouldn't have too much to be scared of.
I didn't hear you.
Well, I didn't mean to eavesdrop, but seeing as I did, let me tell you something. Now, it's all right to talk to God and all. I mean, everybody needs somebody to talk to once in a while, but you gotta stop acting like you hear him talking back. Folks are beginning to wonder.
I'm not talking to God. I'm talking to Felicia. She's my angel.
Oh, well, I could tell you weren't talking to Rachel because you were getting to do most of the talking.
What do you have faith in, Raymond?
Oh, I can hold in my own two hands, I guess.
That's not much.
Well, maybe not. Anyhow, I just wanted to tell you that no matter what anybody says, I think you're an all right kid, a real little rooster.
You say that like you're leaving.
Well, I'll be heading back to Georgia tomorrow morning, and I didn't want to leave without saying goodbye.
But you can't. There's still too much to do.
Let him go, Diggity. He's got what he came for.
Hey, you get something in your craw, you just don't let it go.
You have your money now, Mr. Kane. There's absolutely no reason for you to be here any longer.
You think you got everything and everybody paid, don't you?
No, I don't. Well, I got it absolutely right when it came to you.
Diggity watches as Rachel, having slapped Ray's face, leans forward as if to kiss him.
Do I have to tell you everything? Don't they kiss in Georgia? You guys are helpless.
Rachel is distracted by the arrival of Slee, Rupert and Ian.
Signed, sealed, and delivered. I believe these people are trespassing, Constable.
The deal was they could still have the faith.
Very well, but not a moment longer. This is private property now.
I'm going to go and help Artemis and Gwyn pack.
Grandfather, here it is.
Rupert points out the vault door.
In you go, boy. Well, don't just stand there. I'll need a witness.
Ian follows Slee and Rupert down the steps. In the torchlight, they see a big stone crest on the wall.
That's what he's talking about.
Feeling his way in the darkness, Slee finds the wall moves.
Give me a hand, quickly! Push. What is this, Mr. Slee? Where does it lead?
If I'm right,
you're in for the surprise of your life. Go!
Grandfather, keep going around to the left.
Go on, boy, go on, boy.
They enter a tunnel behind the wall.
Going right now.
Move on, boy, move on.
They find a dusty chest with a large padlock.
Grandfather, you were right.
Express! What is it?
Gonna be rich, Grandfather.
What do you think is in it, Mr. Slee?
A king's ransom, Constable. A king's ransom. He held this.
Ian holds the torch as Slee breaks open the chest to reveal a tray with a few gold coins on it.
You were right, Grandfather.
Is this it?
Under the tray are some rags and old documents.
What's this? Is this what I've been searching for?
What are you talking about? This is worth a fortune to the National Trust.
Won't cover the cost of a small cottage. To hell with the National Trust!
Well, that's something, Grandfather.
Shut up, you bickering idiot!
Well, decide what you're going to do. I'm going back up. The air in here is stifling.
In the churchyard, watched by Diggity hiding behind a wall, Ray and Ian walk side by side.
Well, I guess our Slee's gonna sit down there all night, guarding his treasure.
I can remember a time not too long ago I would have done the same thing.
You know, I find that hard to believe, after what you did for Artie and all.
No big deal. I got a plane ticket out of it.
You know, I still don't understand why you didn't tell Rachel, but she sure gave you a browbeating. One of the best I've seen.
Sometimes things are better left unsaid. Besides, that was between me and Artie. I sure envy that fella. I hope he realizes how lucky he is to have a close family like that. Anyhow, he taught me something pretty special. Sometimes to figure out what love is, you first got to figure out what the opposite is.
And what's that?
Well, I used to think it was hate. Now I know it's selfishness.
He's got it. You owe me, Felicia. He's changed, and now I want my wish.
Rachel, carrying a dish covered with a cloth, approaches the campsite where the Romers are packing up.
Morning.
Good morning, Rachel.
Brought something for you. Look, I just wanted to say I'm really sorry about what's...
That's not plum pie, or is it now?
Yeah, well, it's your favourite, so...
Gwen, look at this. It's great.
Well, great. Come sit by the fire, Gwen. Look, anyway, guys, I just wanted to come and...
You know what? We should cut it right now. If only I can find where I put those knives and forks.
Look, my garden isn't very large and it's not as private as you're accustomed to, but you're welcome to park your wagon there, if you want to, for as long as you like.
Well, we do need a place to put it.
Our garden is full.
The gate's not really wide enough to pull it through anyway.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Mommy, it's Mr. Kane!
God, he's got a nerve.
The Roma children run up to Ray to greet him. Artemis pats his back and his wife gives Ray a big kiss as Rachel looks confused.
Oh, what the... Thank you. Thank you so much, Mr. Kane.
Wait a minute. It's because of Mr. Kane here that you guys have lost your home. Hey, you're packing up now. God knows where you're going to end up.
Oh, sure, we're packing. But we know where we're moving to.
Yeah, that's right, Miss Rachel. Mr. Kane gave us our very own cottage. Now we're finally going to have a real home.
Didn't anyone tell you?
I can't get anyone to tell me anything.
Mr. Kane sold the church property to Mr. Slee in exchange for his own cottage.
So you own Bridge Cottage?
He did, but he gave it to us.
Isn't this wonderful?
Why is it that you never cease to amaze me, Mr. Kane?
I don't know.
This calls for pie for everyone.
Yeah.
pipe.
I was going to come by in the morning and say goodbye, but you'll be at the fete.
I suppose I will. But, well, it wouldn't be right to let you go without a hot meal.
Oh, I'd appreciate that.
Supper? Seven-ish?
Sorry?
Supper. Seven-ish.
All righty.
Plum pie, Raymond?
Thank you, ma'am.
And this is your favourite? Humble pie.
Mrs. Romer gives a plate to Rachel and they both smile. That evening, Rachel and Ray are having a candlelit dinner in her cottage and she's gazing at him across the table.
What? Did I miss something?
Can I ask you something personal?
Sure.
How did you, get that scar?
There was an accident when I was young. I lost my mama.
I'm sorry.
It was a long time ago. Anyhow, thanks for asking.
I'll just get these plates and you can have some coffee.
Well, let me help you.
No, it's fine. I like having someone for dinner.
Can I ask you something personal?
I suppose so.
Ray carries a plate into the kitchen, collides with Rachel, and they nearly kiss.
We've been here before.
Yeah, I believe so.
You said you had something personal to ask me.
Only personal?
Ian appears at the window.
Sorry, excuse the interruption. I just wanted to see Raymond.
About what?
Oh, nothing. I just want to show you something at the church. But that can wait until morning. What time do you need to leave for the airport tomorrow?
Oh, I don't know. Around noon, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe a little after that.
Okay, well, I'll let you two get back to your conversation.
Diggity is talking to his angel.
What else do I have to do? It all worked out. Raymond even gave Bridge Cottage to Mr. and Mrs. Romer. He'd never have done that before. You just don't play fair, do you?
Mrs. Romer is sitting in Bridge Cottage while her husband carries in boxes.
Come in!
Thank you.
That's about all we can do. Mr. Slee has the rest of his things moved to the church.
This is going to be wonderful! I even have my own bedroom!
Slee said he'll be here by 8 o'clock. Stitches.
Yes, sir.
Go see what's keeping him.
Stitches jumps down out of the chimney and runs off.
He's on our time now, darling. I'll take another box while we're waiting.
Well, come on, I'll show you what I think I found.
Any idea what he's talking about?
Nope.
Okay. Ray and Rachel follow Ian around the church.
Diggity, where you been? Just around.
Seasley?
He's stood inside the church with Rupert.
Why? My dad wants him and I don't want to go in the cellar on my own.
I'll come.
Yeah, 31, 32, 33, 34,
Ian is measuring his paces in the churchyard. Slee and Rupert are in the vault counting coins.
Mr. Slee! Mr. Slee!
What is it, boy?
My dad wants you.
Does he now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, very well. You stay here. And I know exactly how much there is. Come on, boy.
Diggity and Rupert stay behind in the vault.
You look hungry. I can bring you something.
Thanks, kid.
Debris falls from the ceiling.
What's that?
I don't know. It's happened several times this morning.
So where's this going, Ian?
Well, the way I figure it, the 15 paces left on this chart put Slee's treasure right about there.
You've got to be kidding.
It was under Slee's cottage the whole time.
Yeah. And now the Romans own the cottage. And I can't wait to tell him.
Artemis puts down some heavy boxes in Bridge Cottage and the floor gives way. Slee and Stitches run back into the collapsed vault to find Diggity scrabbling in the rubble to reach Rupert.
My God, what happened?
We were talking, the whole thing fell through on Rupert!
Quick, lads, get some help and hurry!
I see him!
Oh, we've got to get him out of there before the whole thing collapses.
I can get through.
Good night, come on. Quickly. Quickly, hurry, hurry. Go, go, go. Okay, boy. Steady. Steady. Okay.
Diggity crawls through a narrow gap to rescue Rupert as Stitches runs for help.
Hey, Raymond, come back and look at this.
What's up, Artie?
Stitches, run and get help. Anybody, everybody!
Rupert! Rupert, come on, Ed! Rupert, are you all right? Come on, son! Come to me! Come on, Rupert! Come on, Ed! Give me a hand! Come on! Good boy! Are you all right? Diggity! Diggity! Okay, son. Diggity! Diggity! Diggity!
Rupert crawls out, but Diggity is trapped.
Are you all right? Are you all right? Are you all right? Yes, yes, you're all right. Come on.
Where's Diggity?
He's inside. He's all collapsed. Stop him!
Ray and Ian scrabble through the rubble to reach Diggity.
We're gonna need some tools.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Diggity!
Slee pulls Rupert out of the tunnel and Artemis goes in.
How bad is it?
Oh, it's very bad. They're gonna need help getting Diggity out. Oh, thank God, I thought I'd lost him. I'm sorry, Dad, I'm so sorry.
Come on, let's get him out of the dust.
Ian, where are they?
They're down there, follow the light.
George, the church, come on!
The church, there's an accident, quick!
The villagers come out of their cottages and run to the church. Artemis and Ray are digging with their hands when Ian comes back with some tools.
Hey, Artemis, use this.
Give me that.
No, 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 you need a break. Look, there's too much dirt. Someone's gonna start moving it out.
Okay.
In the church, Rachel and Slee clean up Rupert, watched by Stitches.
Diggity's gonna be okay. He has to be.
Thank goodness it's Mrs. Helps.
I called emergency service before I left. I should be here directly.
Thank you.
Diggity would tell you to have faith.
Diggity's still trapped under the church.
Carrying a first aid kit, Mrs. Phelps checks over Rupert as below, the digging continues.
Here's his hat! Whoa, stop using the shovels. We don't know exactly where he is, and you might hit him. There he is.
They see Diggity's hand in the rubble and pull him out.
Come on! We've got to get him out of here.
Ian carries his lifeless body out of the tunnel. He passes him on to another man, and they lie Diggity down on the church floor. Mrs. Phelps wipes his mouth. As Rachel and the villagers look on anxiously, two paramedics arrive, and with Mrs. Phelps they attach a heart monitor to Diggity and perform CPR, pressing down on his chest to revive him. Artemis comforts the distressed Stitches.
No pulse.
Ray and Rachel stand together looking concerned. Stitches creeps through the crowd on his hands and knees to get closer to Diggity.
Nothing's working.
How long was he buried?
Oh, at least 15, maybe 20 minutes.
The heart monitor screen shows a flat line. Mrs. Phelps looks at Ray and Rachel and shakes her head. The paramedics stop trying to resuscitate Diggity.
What are you stopping for?
Ray kneels over the boy and starts heart massage again.
Come on.
Rachel puts a hand on Ray's shoulder and Stitches hugs his father. Ray gets up and, with Rachel, walks away from Diggity's body.
He saved my grandson, you know.
Are either of the parents here?
Well, actually, the poor lad's up.
Yes.
Mrs. Phelps smiles as Ray and Rachel come forward.
They can stay.
Stitches runs over and kneels beside Diggity as the paramedics pack away their equipment.
Diggity, wake up! Surely you're not dead!
Stitches, we must go now. There's nothing we can do. Come on,
Diggity! Diggity! Diggity!
Ray and Rachel look grief-stricken. Ian herds the villagers out of the church. The paramedics put Diggity on a trolley and start to zip him up in a plastic body bag.
Diggity! Diggity!
Watched by Stitches, Rachel bends over and kisses Diggity's head.
Wait.
Ray steps forward and gently pins his angel brooch on Diggity.
There are some papers you'll need to sign.
Maybe we can take care of that in the morning.
Oh, just bring them to me. I'll see it.
The bag moves.
He's breathing. He's alive.
It's just your imagination.
I really saw him breathe. He's not dead.
It's common. Just air escaping from the lungs.
Wait, I heard something.
I heard that.
They hurriedly unzip the bag and feel for a pulse.
Like I said, just air in the lung.
It's a very common thing, dear.
Dozens of stars appear in the empty church and take the shape of a beautiful woman in everyday clothes who smiles and hugs Diggity.
Lucia, did I do it?
Yes, precious, you did it. But there's something you need to understand.
What's that?
It wasn't Raymond you needed to change. Or Mr. Slee, or anyone else.
I don't get it.
It was you.
I don't get it.
It was you. You had a character flaw that only you could correct. You spent all those years helping people, but you weren't doing it because you loved them. You did it so that you could get your wish to become an angel like me. That was a selfish love.
But how come I'm still here then if I failed?
Oh, but you didn't fail. You didn't fail. You showed true, unselfish, and unconditional love for a human being.
I did.
When you were willing to give up your mortal life and your dreams to save Rupert, you finally got everything right.
So now do I get my wish?
Now you get love's greatest gift, the freedom of choice.
What do you mean, choice? What do you mean, choice?
That means you get to choose between being the angel you've always wanted.
Or what?
Or you can stay here with them and be the child they've always wanted.
I don't really have any family to speak of.
You guys are helpless.
No, it's fine. I like having someone for dinner.
Do you have any children?
You got a real nice family there, Artie.
If I don't, what will happen to them?
Only God knows.
Are either the parents here?
Yes. Yeah.
If I go, I can't ever come back. How could they get by without me? They need me.
Diggity, it's time.
I can't leave.
I'm proud of you, Diggity. You'll make them a wonderful son.
Felicia disappears into a shower of stars. Diggity looks on wistfully. Then he is back in the body bag and starts fighting to get out. Ray tears open the bag and takes him in his arms, and the villagers crowd around smiling. Rachel strokes Diggity's hair. The Christmas fete continues.
It's still hard to believe that's all there was to King Charles' war chest.
Still, you have to admit, when I told you the treasure was under Bridge Cottage and that it rightfully belonged to Artemis, you were pretty upset.
And to think of the years I spent looking for it.
Just come and see it, anytime.
Ah! What's this?
Something you...
No, the village deserves.
It's the deed to the church.
I don't know what to say. Except thank you. Bless you.
Thank Diggity. If it wasn't for you, lad, I'd have lost the most important thing in the world to me. And I wouldn't even have known it.
Slee puts his arm round Rupert.
I have a few apologies of my own to make.
Well, we were mad for a minute, weren't we?
Yeah, I suppose we were.
Don't you have something to ask her?
What if she says no?
What if you don't ask?
Will you?
I will.
Ray and Rachel kiss, and the vicar arrives holding up an envelope.
Here's a contract for the money. The bishop finally came through. What's going on? I'm not too late, am I?
No, vicar, you're just in time.
To perform a wedding.
Here's to Copingwell's new family.
To Robin Hood, Maid Marian, and their son.
As the villagers applaud, Rupert gives Stitches his coin back.
This is yours.
Thanks.
To Heidi.
Wherever she is.
Come on, everybody. Time we had some snaps for the family album. This way. Come on, kids.
In her bedroom in Georgia, Ray's niece, Beth, opens an envelope addressed to her. She studies a photo of Ray, Rachel, and all the villagers, and another of Ray, Rachel, and Diggity standing in front of a Christmas tree.
My dearest Beth, this is a photo of my new wife, Rachel, and our son we are adopting. His name is Diggity. I finally discovered what I'm best suited for. I guess you could call it a family business. And remember, I always love you. Lots of love, Uncle Raymond. P.S. I'm returning your little angel. She took great care of me.
I knew you could fix her, Uncle Raymond.
The angel brooch now has two wings. Under the church, Heidi scuttles along and joins another guinea pig in a cosy nest. Nearby is a chest. It's brimming over with treasure, gold goblets and jewellery. The end.
Sometimes you go farther than I ever thought you could. This don't wanna be alone. the deep and near.